The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. In those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day that Noah entered the ark. They did not know until the flood came and carried them all away. So will it be also at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be out in the field. One will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and one will be left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on which day your Lord will come. Be sure of this: if the master of the house had known the hour of night when the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and not let his house be broken into. So too, you also must be prepared, for at an hour you do not expect, the Son of Man will come." The Gospel of the Lord. Christmas is coming. The end of the school year is coming. Summer is coming. Those all sound good. Those are all advents. The Latin word adventus just means arrival. It means coming. But what about these? A storm is coming. That doctor's report is coming. The invasion is coming. The end of the world is coming. Those are advents or arrivals too. Sometimes advents can be wonderful and joyous and deeply fulfilling. Other times advents can scare the life out of us. The readings today that talk about the great advent, the second coming of Christ, describe it as being both. Advents can be scary things because something new breaks in to end, upset, rearrange the current state of affairs. The gospel reading today accents this negative side. Jesus says the coming of the Son of Man will repeat what happened in Noah's time. Now, those are not very reassuring words because Noah's time was the time of the great flood that devastated the earth, that ended life as we know it. But why isn't the coming of Christ again simply a joyful event? Jesus said that he is the way, the truth, and the life. When he comes again, the life that is opposed to him must give way. When he comes again, false claimants to the truth must cede to him. When he comes again, then ways that don't lead to Christ must be abandoned. And all of this will hurt. It's just common sense. If we have to make major changes in our lives, it will be like a revolution, which is always painful. The Son of God will break into our sinful world like a cleansing fire, like a wild storm, like a revolution, like a thief in the night. And what will the outcome be? Well, let's look at the first reading. This contains Isaiah's great vision of what things will be like at the great Adventus, the great coming. What's the mountain of the Lord's house? That's Mount Zion, where the temple was located. In the age of the Messiah, the worship of the living God will be the center and summit of all life. That's what he means by this mountain will raise up. It will become the center of all life. It will be the good above all goods. At the time of the Messiah, adoration of the one true God will break out. You know, when we worship the true God, we become ordered, both interiorly and exteriorly. When you adore God, then everything in you falls into proper harmony. Everything finds its place in you, and you become ordered on the inside. And when the society adores God, then all the elements that make up the society become themselves properly ordered. That sounds like good news, a very pleasant adventus. Well, yes and no. How will this play out in a society in which the majority of people have stopped worshiping the true God and don't have any desire to do it again? In our Catholic Church alone, 70% or more of our brothers and sisters stay away from the worship of the true God on a regular basis. They stay away from the Mass, the source and summit of the Christian life. If you want the Catholic version of Isaiah's vision, that's the Mass. All those adoring God rightly. What will it feel like to those of us who don't want to worship God properly or at all when this worship now becomes central to human life? Well, that will be like a revolution. Some will refuse. Jesus says, two men will be out in the field, one will be taken, and one will be left. How will it play out in a world in which sex and pleasure and money and power and honor are regularly worshipped? I don't mean just made part of your life, because there's nothing wrong with these things in themselves, in their proper contexts. But when they are worshipped, that's when spiritual problems arise. Isaiah says, when the mountain of the Lord's house is raised above the hills, that means we have to change all those false forms of worship that we've been engaging in. And that's not going to be pleasant. That's not going to be easy. And then Isaiah says that all the nations of the world will gather together as one great community around the praise of God. Now, that's good news, right? Well, yes and no. We live in a sinful world that in its sinful way likes divisions among peoples, separations, hatreds. In our dysfunctions, in our sin, we apparently like to order things that way. If we didn't, divisions and separations and hatreds would not have flourished century after century. But in God's time, when the Messiah comes in the great Adventus, then those barriers will be knocked down. These separations will be overcome. Will that be pleasant? Well, it would be a major change in the way we think and feel and move and imagine. I don't know how happy we're going to be to lose all that, at least some of us. But it is precisely what God wants at the great Advent. And then Isaiah says we will all receive instruction from God. Now surely that's good news. But how will that play out in a sinful world? Do you like taking instruction from anyone? Most of us sinners say, no, I tell myself what to do. I set the tone for my own life. No one tells me what to do, much less God. But at the time of the great messianic advent, when all nations stream toward that holy mountain, that's precisely what will happen. All of us will take instruction together from God. But that would require a major revolution, and some will refuse. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken, the other will be left. And then Isaiah says, they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Well, there's paradise, right? Why have we had so many wars up and down the centuries? And why do they last so long? It's one of the signs of sin. Again, in some strange way, we must like war. If we didn't, we would have avoided it more than we have. But at the coming of the Messiah, it's time to put an end to war. To lay down your sword. How easy will that be to people who are so used to using war to settle disputes? At the national level and at the personal level too. Jesus says, turn the other cheek. Love your enemies. Pray for those who mistreat you. Bless those who curse you. Try that on for size while we wait together for the great Adventus. All of this is what the coming of the Messiah will mean. Yes, the great Advent is a time of great joy for those properly disposed for that. But in our sin, it can also be a time of threat, because it means the end of our old world, an end to the old way of doing things that we're so used to. Christ is coming. Are you ready?